price of a property generally goes down because you can't make the same return when borrowing costs are higher. And conversely, when borrowing costs go down, the valuation goes up. And a lot of people do value add deals. Great time to make a lot of money when interest rates go down for value add deals. And it's a great time to lose a lot of money when interest rates go up.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everybody? You know the drill. Every Friday, we're coming at you with all things personal finance. So as we know, it's not what you make, but what you keep. So we want to share strategies and tips to get your money working not only harder for you, but smarter so we can build the lives of our dreams, keep more money that belongs to us, put it to work, and create those lives that we all are hoping for, thereby giving us more time, more resources to make this world a better place. So I think making the world a better place first starts with yourself and really accomplishing self-excellence, being the best person you possibly can be, and showing others how to get there as well. And I think that's really how we make this world a better place. So every Friday, I want to come on here, share things that I learn, also bring on guests that have learned some great skills along the way that can impart that knowledge on to us so that we can create these lives of our dreams, be the best of our abilities, be the best person we can be, then help others. So without taking up more time, let's just get into it. I saw a tweet the other day, and this wasn't new or anything. It kind of reminded me of this term that I feel gets lost. And if you don't come from the background of finance, you might have never really heard this term before, or really even, I don't know if understands the right term, but really see the point of it, right? And that's the term that if you don't understand the bond market, you don't understand the real estate market. And to kind of explain what that is and what that means, we really need to take it way back to when kind of the dawn of the bond market. And historians say that the father of the bond market is war. The reason they say that is because we have to go all the way back to the 14th century. And I know you can go back further and there's some kind of promissory note that can be considered a bond, but the true kind of government issued bond that was a little more sophisticated and done on mass scale happened in the 14th century during the Italian Renaissance. This is when Pisa and Tuscany were battling one another. There was war within Italy, and this specifically the Venetian army, the way they were building the army was by hiring mercenaries. So arms for hire. It wasn't their own people. And obviously this costs money. Beginning of the war, they were in debt of about $15,000 and $50,000 in debt. And by the end of the war, that accumulated to over $5 million. And you got to imagine back then, that's a substantial amount of money. And so the question was, well, how could they continue to fund this, right? And they did that through bonds, through issuing government-backed bonds that the people of the country, of those townships, could buy. And they were, bond is essentially an IOU, promissory note. You give me this money, and I will pay you back this amount of money with interest over time. And so what ended up happening is the more and more they needed to fund these wars, the more bonds they created. And as we all know, the more you issue, the more it is diluted, and thereby the underlying value is decrease, specifically for those that bought bonds before, right? So that have been holding them for some period of time, their price per bond face value has diminished. And that's what ended up happening until a point where they were essentially worth 10% of their original face value. And the reason I bring this up is because it's been somewhat similar what's been happening and a little different, right? Because we're not necessarily funding a massive war, maybe someone else's, but I digress. However, we've infused, and by we, I mean the government has infused a lot of money into the system, created a tremendous amount of inflation to the point where even last month when the inflation numbers came out, they were higher than expected, which then kind of put everything in a tailwind. We saw the market drop. We saw 10-year and 5-year skyrocket over the month, and it just created a lot of uncertainty. And the reason I bring this up is because ever since that war, the Venetians created the bond how we know it today. It's kind of taken over the world. Governments, corporations have funded themselves via debt, creating bonds, creating IOUs, that are then by other individuals, other corporations, other governments, and that funds their operations. And so what we're seeing now is we've gotten to a point where the Fed, in order to control inflation, they have usually generally one of two things levers they can pull. The first is obviously interest rates, which we've been seeing, right? If they increase the Fed funds rate, which is simply just the rate, also known as the overnight rate, that banks within this country can trade with one another, and the Fed charges a rate to do so. And generally what happens is that rate increase is then passed on to the consumer. It's not directly correlated, but that tends to be what happens. And the other scenario, how we can control inflation, we as in the Fed, how the Fed can control inflation or move the market, is also by issuing or buying bonds, right? So if they issue bonds, that means they're taking money out of the market, right? Because we the people, or we other governments, are buying using US dollars, buying those bonds, thereby taking that money out of the system. Conversely, if the government is buying bonds, which they do during quantitative easing, which we have seen over the last 10 plus years, then that floods money into the market. And so what we're seeing now is they've tapered that, right? They've pulled back on buying bonds, and they eventually want to get to where they're not buying any, right? But the biggest lever they've been pulling is continuing to increase the Fed funds rate. And it just came out today that the probability of them increasing, doing another increase at the next meeting, has not only gone up, but it's gone up from what most people thought 25 basis points to now 50 basis point hike. And we're still seeing a huge spread. So spreads are essentially, so let's take like a bridge loan, for example, for those of us commercial side, where if you buy a bridge, it generally floats off an index known as SOFR. S-O-F-R, SOFR. And what then the lender will do is they'll be like, all right, this is based off of SOFR plus a spread. So right now it's at, let's call it 4.5, and then the spread would be another 4.5. So essentially your rate is 9%. And why you see such a high spread is because the market is unsure what the Fed plans on doing. And so what some people expect is, you know, another rate hike in March, another one in May, and possibly one in June. And then they feel we'll stop raising rates, keep them flat throughout the end of the year, and then either late 2023 or early 2024, they'll actually start pulling rates back. Now, they're uncertain that it's going to go that way, and that's why spreads are so large. And depending what happens, we'll see the spreads either widen or contract. If it goes along that path, then they'll start to contract because they, the lenders, feel, okay, I do have a better picture of what the Fed is trying to do. So if you are buying right now, especially a larger deal that could take 60 plus days to close, if you are getting something under contract in this quarter, I would advise pushing that as far as you can. Whether you have to pay more earnest money, pay a little higher price to get your closing more towards end of Q2, somewhere around there, end of Q2, beginning of Q3, just because by then we should have a better grasp on where the Fed's trying to go. And you would expect by then that the spread may compress. What I really wanted to emphasize on this, which I hope I have, is that the bond market really does control the real estate market. As we all know, the correlation costs more to borrow. Price of the property generally goes down, right? Because you can't make the same return when borrowing costs are higher. And conversely, when borrowing costs go down, the valuation goes up. And a lot of people do value add deals, and it's a great time to make a lot of money when interest rates go down for value add deals, and it's a great time to lose a lot of money when interest rates go up. So the point of this is you really, and I'm not saying anyone completely understands the bond market, because we've seen it do some crazy things over the years. Last year it had worst return in history and just imploded. However, we need to stick to buying fixed debt. I don't plan on buying any variable or adjustable rate debt at this time. I think that could destroy you. And I think it's going to destroy some people this coming year, especially those that have balloon payments coming due over the next 3-4 months. It's going to be it could be a wild ride. And it's, you know, time will only tell where it's going to go. So this is the time to buy fixed debt, preferably fixed long-term debt, right? That's the best way to buy on cash flow and buy with long fixed term debt. That's the best way to hold the property. Cash flow gets you through any storm. And that's how true wealth made in this business. So I just feel I wanted to share this, that really keep track of what the 5 years doing, what the 10 years doing. And another thing I wanted to bring up, as I mentioned this up in a previous episode, is that look at parking your money. If you have money on the sideline that you know you want to maybe put into the next deal you find, you shouldn't just be putting it in a savings account. There are some saving accounts that make high yield, but not all, right? So that money on the sidelines, you don't want to just keep it there in a savings account. Yes, you can find some savings accounts that have higher yield. Yes, there's CDs that are higher yield, but that's going to be locked up for generally a year and it is taxable. So put it into something like 3-month treasury bill, a 1-month, a 2-year. And I mentioned this on episode 129. That's what that whole episode was about. So if you haven't heard that or you need a refresh, go back, listen to episode 129. I tell you what T-bills are and how to go about investing in them. Because if you look right now, the 3-month treasury bill is at 4.87%. The 2-year just hit yesterday, 5% for the first time since 2007. And the 5-year was at 1.55% 2 years ago. That's wild. And this just shows the run that the bond market's at. And this is something we need to look at, right? And for those that aren't familiar with bonds, the rate to the price of the bond are inversely related. As the yield on the bond goes up, what people are paying for that bond goes down. And conversely, when the price of that bond goes up, what people are trading for, the yield comes down. And that it's a risk on, risk off type of investment. And that going, circling back to the Venetian bonds during that time, as they kept issuing more bonds to fund their war, yeah, the rates went up, but the value, underlying value went down. And that was a risk reward play. And eventually it ran its time, right? And there was an implosion. And so this is time to really be sensitive to what's going on with these rates. For those that can lock rates, this is something where I would personally, I don't like to advise like this type of thing on the show, but personally, if it was me right now and I had to lock a rate, I would lock it today. Could it go down? Say you're buying in 2 months, say you're buying in 60 days. Could it go down by then? Sure. But I think the probability of it going up are a lot higher, especially the probability that just came out that the Fed's going to raise 50 basis points this next time instead of 25. With inflation that came out was higher than expected, there's just a lot of volatility in the market right now. All right, everybody, I hope this wasn't too dry. Any talk of bonds can be dry, but at the end of the day, bond market kind of rules the economic world. It's something that you should get yourself familiar with and just be cognizant of what's going on. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. And as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you. So we can all create the lives of our dreams and make this world a better place. All right, I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.